This afternoon we're going to take a look at how we must mutually submit to the order and arrangement preferred by the greater number as a dissatisfied minority. I'm limiting my focus to the dissatisfied minority to order and arrangement. Matters of doctrine and issues wherein I may cause my brother to sin are a whole other matter. So then this comes down to a matter of how do I react when I don't get what I want, when I'm overruled by the majority? What becomes of my behavior? It would be easy to pout, to give the main supporters of the other side the cold shoulder and evil eye, whisper of their shortcomings behind their backs, and how you expect or even wish their endeavor would fail. Or perhaps I should just sit back, watch. After all, it wasn't me who wanted to undertake this project. Why should I help them? They're not going to succeed anyway. Yes, I will kick back, wait, then I'll tell them, see, I told you so. It is much harder to do that which is right. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Starting at verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up from far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we are all come in the unity of the faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And continuing verse 29, let no communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor. It is hard for me to put my effort into something I didn't originally support. But that is my duty. It is my duty to support the decision of the majority. It is my duty to edify, to build up, to strengthen each one of you. Paul used this word edify 3 times in what we just read. He's used it before in this letter, in chapter 2, where it's translated building. At verse 20, speaking of the individual members of the household of God, he says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief corner, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. If we cannot work together as bricks fitly framed, how can we expect to be part of that holy temple? But it is easy to agree to this in principle. It's a whole other matter to put them into practice. Let's look at some examples. People who did not get what they wanted and how they reacted. We'll start at 1 Samuel chapter 30. David and his men had gone down from Ziklag to recover the people and the stuff that the Amalekites had taken. 200 of his men had stayed by the stuff after traveling for probably about a week. Some were too faint to go down to the battle, and when they had received everything, in verse 22, then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial of those that went with David and said, because they, the 200, went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered. In verse 23, then David said, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. Before they left Ziklag to chase after the Amalekites, the people had thought to stone David for their loss. How did the people react to this decision of David to divide all the spoil evenly? Well, we're not actually told, but we are given a hint. Turn ahead a few pages to 2 Samuel 3. David is showing that it was not of him to slay Abner. We'll pick it up in verse 33. And the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept over him. And when all the people had come to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David swore, saying, so do God to me and more also, if I taste bread or aught else till the sun be down. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. Were the wicked men of Belial among them? Yes, I believe they were. Let's look at another example of David. For some reason, I'm keen on using David as a role model. This is found in 2 Samuel 12. For David's sin, which gave great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child that Bathsheba had borne him shall surely die. Starting at verse 16. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in all day and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not. Neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. how will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead. And what was David's response? We can read it in the next verse. Then David arose from the earth, washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. He submits to the will of God and accepts the consequences of his action. But how do I put this into practice? I must believe that whatever situation I find myself, there's a reason for it. For good or ill, it is a character-shaping opportunity. Only with this point of view can I approach the situation with a proper frame of mind to do that which is right in God's sight, not my own. This is the exact opposite of what I would naturally want to do. Is the majority always right? No, obviously not. We are but flesh. Does that mean that I do not have to yield to them? No, again. It is my duty to submit to their will. Just as Sarah submitted to Abraham as he for the second time tried to pass her off as just his sister, after all it worked so well the first time in Egypt. In this case, Abimelech seemed to show more integrity than Abraham. Submitting to someone else's will is rough. There are many things that we must exercise one to another in order that we may be able to perform them acceptably toward God. Charity, temperance, humility, and yes, submission. As we walk in charity, humility, and submission before God, we must also practice these things amongst ourselves. So then, let us all walk together in the spirit of unity.